Welcome to I'm So Obsessed, where we talk with actors, artists, and creators about their work, career, and current obsession. I'm your host, Patrick Holland, and today my guest is Leslie Bibb. You know her best from films like Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, as well as from series like What If, ER, The League, and Jupiter's Legacy. Her latest role is as Satan in the new Netflix series, God's Favorite Idiot. The show was created by Ben Falcone and stars him and his wife, Melissa McCarthy. The premise is simple. A regular guy is struck by lightning, which causes his body to glow. Unbeknownst to him, he was chosen as God's messenger to prevent the apocalypse. He now has to balance his new divinity along with his duties as an office worker and a new romance. Take a listen to part of the trailer for God's Favorite Idiot.
What the?
Clark was glowing.
You have been chosen by God to help the world.
No, really? I was afraid he was going to say something like this.
That's
I was
all right.
Really nervous about exactly this.
She's here.
Who's here?
Satan.
So I want to talk about God's Favorite Idiot. I got to see the first four episodes. So I guess half the series essentially. And because I don't want to spoil anything, how do you describe this to people who don't know about the show?
It's a story about sort of a simple person being picked to save the world. And they pick Ben Falcone, who's just sort of the everyman. You know, he's a very fair, good person, but like he's just an everyman. It's I don't think he has all the answers. I don't think he has it all figured out. And God picks him to save the world, and that's his task. And then he partners with Melissa McCarthy's character, who is definitely not the every woman. She's wild and loves her tequila and loves her men and loves her rock and roll. And these two unlikely people end up having to save the world from the likes of me, who I play Satan. I think it feels like it's relatable right now. I feel like the world feels really, there's a lot going on. And I think that Ben did a really good job of not being like, if you are this or that, or if you're this religion or that religion. It's like, it's really about being kind to one another and being loving and patient and sort of what I, in my heart of hearts and my altruistic self, I think like, oh, if we all did that, we'd all get along and everything would be okay. You know, that's happening sort of set in like an office comedy, which is weird thing. They work at like the most boring, like, you know, they have the most boring job, like at like this office job. And so nobody's like, it's not like a superhero saving the world. You know, it's not like a Marvel movie, which I think is an interesting way to look like, because you look at everybody and you're like, I'm that person, or I'm that person. You can relate to somebody in that thing and the task of trying to save the world.
I love that description, especially in light of recent events happening in our world. A lot of those are political oriented, that there's like this hope. And even if Ben Falcone plays, I think his name is Clark is his character, but Clark is, yeah, I think they describe him as like, you're simple, but sweet. And he doesn't, he's like, no, I'm edgy. He's like, well, what are you doing this week? He's like, oh, I'm going to the sauna with my dad. It's like, exactly. You're simple. He's like, I am simple.
Yeah. He is simple. And it's okay. It's like in this world where like everything's like on a filter and let me show you how cool my life looks. Like I'm in Los Angeles right now. I'm doing this crazy thing in LA called walking. And I was walking through this one neighborhood and houses weren't very fancy or whatever. And I looked, and all the cars parked in these houses were very fancy cars. And I thought, oh, that's so interesting, because it's about the image we present. And it's like, I was like, oh, so most people see you in LA. They don't see your house. They see the car you drive in. And I just thought, like, it just felt like a metaphor for this world of swiping right and swiping left and liking this and how many followers do you have. And it feels in this supernatural world, there's still something real about this, the simplicity of this simple guy trying to, the everyman, trying to do this very difficult task.
I would say, what does that mean exactly to save it? Which, but then he's also falling in love at the same time with Melissa's character.
I remember saying to Ben when they called me about this, I just remember reading the scripts. And when my friend who directed a lot of them, Michael McDonald, he sent it to me and he's like, I just want to see if you'd be interested in this. And he said, you play Satan. And I was like, is this a joke? I don't even have to read it. Like, Ben, Melissa, Satan, it's called God's Favorite, like, I'm in. And then I read it and I kept thinking, I would laugh out loud when I was reading the scripts, just like, odd, like truly laugh out loud. I loved the concept. I loved what it was saying, especially I think coming out of like a year of pandemic that was, you know, it was all of 2020. So we filmed this. I left for Australia the end of January, you know, or beginning of February, 2021. It just felt so unreal. You know, you had all of these like pendulums swinging one way and all of these extremes were happening and life and politics and la 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 la. And there was something so clear about all of the scripts and about just being reminded that, you know, the sense of community and the sense of one, and even like Satan, like when people are like, how do you approach playing Satan? And I was like, you know, like it was longing for, you know, love and attention and the one who was always picked second. And so I, you know, all about Eve in a way was also something that felt very like clear to me. And I think like, I thought like, if you have this person who's just sort of misguided and she really wants friends. And I think like, she really wants Amelie to like, I feel like she sees Melissa's character. She's like, I could get her. Oh my God, she'd be so much fun. We would have so much fun in the world. Like it's misguided and she's not a, you know, she's a bad person. She'll do bad things, but, she's kind of fun if you don't make her mad.
Between Satan and Melissa's character having like beta blockers and vodka, it's like kind of insanity gonna happen. And also you have that line that one of the first scenes you have with Clark and Amelie, it was like every year could be 2020.
2020 felt like if somebody said, it just felt like apocalyptic. And I was like, oh yeah, it does feel like end of days. And I think like, yeah, it was going great for her. And then God had to show up and try to ruin my grand plan. So, you know, the devil was like, Lucifer was an angel and he got cast out of heaven. And so that always was so interesting to me. Like somebody who, it was like a Democrat who became a Republican or a Republican who became a Democrat, like how the sides must look at the other one and be like, you've changed ideologically. You have changed, you know, I love, you know, Lex Luthor from, you know, Superman. I love what he did with that Lex Luthor. He was funny. And
you're talking like the Gene Hackman one, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of cool in a way.
You know, Gene Hackman was so vain too, you know, with his wigs and that vanity was always really interesting to me. And so that was like something I also really looked at. You know, it was like the kid who never got picked. He was smart and he was like, I do good and nobody picks me. Why is that? You know, and there was like an injustice to that, which I could like, if I could sink my teeth into that for, because I always feel like you have to also make people laugh a little bit or else you're just, you know, that's why bad guys are fun. You know, you can get away with murder. I mean, I can throw hot dogs at Melissa. I mean, there was one thing I literally took a thing of hot dogs and just threw them at Melissa. They like whizzed past her. And then I was like, I can't believe I just threw hot dogs at Melissa McCarthy and Ben Falcone.
There's a playfulness to Satan, but also there's, you have such a great physicality too, because the first time we see you as Satan is you're on a motorcycle and you pull up to a car and there's a toddler in the backseat and you flip the toddler the bird. Exactly. And I was just like, what is going on? This is amazing. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about filming that sequence and what it was like.
That little angel was so crying the whole time. And I just had to just give her the finger. She was so sweet, that little baby. But you know, I'm not really very, I mean, I'm very maternal with dogs and stuff, but like babies, they're just not my thing. And so it always made me laugh, like just somebody who would just like give the finger to like a beautiful It's so stupid. It's just stupid.
It's stupid. It's so funny.
I would always leave work every day and I just felt so light because it would be so cathartic and you could, any sort of idea I had, they're like, yeah, go with it. Yeah. You know, just like, you will just have a tantrum and then it, I don't know. It was really fun. And I also like, she's very physical. Like I said to Ben and Melissa, I had just done this other Netflix show and I played a superhero, like a literal superhero from like a comic book. And I said, I have done more stunts in this essentially like office comedy than I did wearing a cape in a super suit. I mean, I have flipped backwards. I'm doing sword work. I'm flying. I like got out of quarantine and they had me in a harness hoisting me up into the air within like I think 10 minutes of getting out of quarantine.
And I heard you in another interview say that you actually like being in a harness and doing that kind of wire work and stuff. What is the appeal to you about that?
It feels safe, which seems crazy, which is like, I don't know. I really love flying. It's just, I love like jumping out of a plane and just this feeling like you're a bird or something. So that's when somebody hoists me into the air and I'm like sort of, they would hoist me into the air and they're like, do you want to come down? I was like, no, just leave me up here. I was literally like, could like look out. I could see the sea. I was like, I could see the tops. There were birds everywhere. I mean, I'm sure because I don't have a penis and testicles, it's probably much more comfortable when I'm in a harness, but I just find it like very comforting. It's very strange. So I was in a harness a lot and I flew a lot and they had me pretty high on this. I was much higher than I ever was in Jupiter's Legacy. And I did the stunt guys. We had this incredible Australian stunt coordinator and team and they really taught me, like I learned how to do this flip where I got jerked back and I just knew it would save time if I learned how to do it. And I thought I can do it. And I learned how to flip backwards holding the sword. And I was holding, it's so crazy, but you literally see it. And like, it's like episode like 7, maybe I think. And you see me and then I catch in the air and it's so fun.
Okay, so Leslie, the name of our podcast is called I'm So Obsessed. What are you currently obsessed with?
Right now, my obsession, I can really go down a rabbit hole. I mean, I love dogs, so I can go down a real rabbit hole of watching on Instagram anything to do with German Shepherds.
Aww.
Really, it's German Shepherds because I have a German Shepherd or we have a German Shepherd. Just dogs or even like I saw like these pit bulls like love nibbling a cat, like cats and dogs together. It's very G-rated, that obsession.
And I got to admit that I'm getting ready to adopt a pet. And so I've been watching a lot of videos where it's like the cats, the dogs.
What are you going to adopt?
Probably a cat just because I don't have a yard right now. I haven't had a pet in a long time. So I'm so excited. And they're kind of like dating websites a little bit. They'll tell you a little bit about the cat or the dog, their name, who likes cuddles and treat time, but can be a little sassy when he's hungry or she's hungry, you know, whatever. You're like, oh my God, this is... I feel like I'm getting to know somebody for my cat.
I'm really obsessed with dogs. And I'm also obsessed with like, I always say to Sammy, I was like, we have to get a cat, but it has to be a cat that loves dog. Like I just literally, there's a video I just look at. Wait, I'll show it to you right now.
Please do. Please do. It's the
God.
It's just like a cat being licked by two dogs. Oh my goodness.
That cat, it couldn't be happier, because I was reading, our dog does that every morning. He jumps up on the bed with us and he crawls up on Sam, and Sam has a mustache right now, and he, there's corn cobs Sam's mustache and corn cob Sam. And I was reading somewhere that it's something that, it's like, you know, when a cat needs, it's like a very comforting thing that they do. So that's why that cat's not, he's like, oh, it's like love. It means that those dogs are happy and the cat. I think I like it when people feel safe. It's like the harness. Like I just feel, it feels like a little cocoon. It's kind of the way I feel like when I'm at home with Sam and my, and our dog, I just feel like it feels, I like that feeling of being safe and cozy like that.
What's your dog's name?
Gus, after Lonesome Dove, Robert Duvall's
character. Yes.
Is Augustus McCray. So, yeah, we named him Gus. We picked the name ages ago. And then we had another, our beloved Sadie, who was our other German Shepherd, she passed away. And I knew it was coming. I could tell she was, you just, I had a sense of it. And I was like, we have to get a puppy to annoy her into living longer. And we got like an extra 6 months out of her. I love animals so much.
Well, I want to ask you too, because I read somewhere that you attended an all-girls Catholic high school. What do you think high school version of you would think of adult version of you playing Satan?
I mean, I'm not Catholic. So I was always like, I like to color outside the lines. I loved Catholics. I loved my school. I also love the fact that I would go, if you were Catholic, you could go to confession and the priest would come in and they would set up like a thing in our school, so you could go to confession, and I'd always go to confession, and you would sit in the screen and the priest would be on the other side, and I would always go around the screen and go, can I just talk to you directly? Yeah, because the screen is so weird. And then we just sit, and I'd always have these great conversations with, I mean, I know there's a lot of things where priests aren't great, but like, to me, all of the like nuns that we had were so wonderful, and the priests that would come, like I had a very good experience. And it's also something I love about like Judaism. I love like seders, and whenever my friends invite me to a seder or any like holiday, I love the ritual and the tradition, and that, I love that part of religion. My high school self would be like, yeah, it makes sense. I was a good kid, but I was a little mischievous. So I remember one year all my girlfriends, we were like, let's steal people's Christmas trees. I mean, Christmas wreaths. And usually it was some boy that had wronged us or some girl who was mean to us. And we'd go to their house and we would steal their Christmas tree from their front door. And then we had a trunk filled with Christmas trees. We thought it was the funniest thing. And my mother, I remember I brought her home. We all brought our mothers home Christmas trees. And I remember my mom, the Christmas wreath I bought her, she's like, this wreath is incredible. I was like, oh yeah, I got it from like, I just said like some like, I don't know, like Joann's Fabrics or like some like thing. They never, I mean, this wreath was fancy. And my mom, after I graduated high school, she still put the same wreath up. And I was like, Mom, you know that's stolen. She's like, what? And I was like, oh yeah, we stole it. We stole that wreath. But that feels a little like Satan, you know. I'm sure someone woke up and was like, who stole that wreath?
I got to ask about Christine Everhart, because I feel like this is a role you did in the first Iron Man, and she keeps on coming back. She was in What If. Could you have imagined when you auditioned originally for that role that you'd still be playing her in 2022?
I remember I almost didn't go in and audition for it. I was shooting this movie at the time. And they sent it and I was like, I don't know, what is this? Like Iron Man, what is like, because it was the first, those movies weren't what they were. And the guy was like, just go. A manager at the time was like, just go, you have to do it. And then I remember when we were filming it, I remember Favreau said, I feel like I am shooting the biggest, the most expensive independent film in the history of the world. Because it did feel like, you know, because you were sort of uncharted, it was uncharted waters. And Robert was so wonderful and so great. It was great.
So I like to do a thing called pick one, and this will completely wrap it up.
Okay.
First thing I have is North Dakota or Virginia. Pick one.
Virginia. I'm not really from North Dakota. I was just born there. For the record, I'm a Virginia girl.
Glad we cleared up on our show. All right, next one. Pick one. ER, Crossing Jordan, or The League?
Well, they're so different. You just gave me like apples and oranges. I would go with ER just because I was excited to be a part of a show that was so, I'd never, you know, to be a part of like a show that was very like a part of like television history, or like of all television history. And those terrifying, they had these things, these terrifying oneers where you would, that were like these tracking oneer shots that I was always at the end of them. And I was always paralyzed with fear that I would fuck up the way some disorder I had to say, you know, because everybody had to do it and all the way down. I think ER. I mean, I love all of them, but I think ER was really like, was really fun to be a part of that show.
Okay, this one is the last one, and this might be the hardest. So pick one, Sam Rockwell in Vice, or Sam Rockwell in Moon, or Sam Rockwell in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Sam Rockwell any day of the week is what I always pick.
Fair enough.
Mine is Sam Rockwell in Moon, because I always say my, it's because when Sam and I, we fell in love when he was shooting Moon.
Wow.
So we just started dating in October, and then he went to London and filmed Moon. So it's very like my, like a love story to me. So I love it. And I also love Moon Sam. I always say to Sam, I love Moon Sam. Moon Sam is one of my favorites.
I've not had the privilege of meeting your partner. Maybe one day I will, but he seems like it would be. I want to throw it back to you though. We talked about a lot of things, especially with God's Favorite Idiot. Is there anything you want to bring up or clarify that we didn't get to talk about?
I really like the work I did. So my character comes in like episode 4 through 8, and I hope people stay because I think you'll have a good time with Satan. She's really fun and she's wickedly delicious.
Yeah, I think you're the PR person who sent this said the show follows a mid-level tech employee who finds love and at the same time becomes the unwitting messenger of God. There's roller skating, a lake of fire, an impending apocalypse, and best of all, Leslie plays Satan. And I have to say, it lives up to that billing. So congrats on this. And it was really nice talking with you, Leslie. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
I want to thank Leslie for chatting with me, and I want to thank you for listening. God's Favorite Idiot is now streaming on Netflix. I'm So Obsessed was created by our executive producer, Danielle Ramirez. Our editor and lead producer is Sophia Fox-Sowell, and this episode was produced by Rebecca Fleener. Please take a moment and subscribe to I'm So Obsessed on your favorite podcast app. Heck, follow the show on Twitter @I'm So Obsessed Pod, and until next time, take care.